Welcome to the Pentecost Today USA podcast. I'm Alicia Hartle, and I'm here today with a special guest, Father Diogo Escudero, and we are very excited to have him here with us. Father Diogo is a friend of many years, and he is a Capuchin friar. And prior to joining the Capuchin Friars, he was pursuing a PhD in molecular cell and developmental biology at the University of Miami School of Medicine. And, you know, he has just an extraordinary background, not only in the secular world and in his studies doing cancer research, but then even during his work in ministry as a Capuchin friar, he has just an extraordinary background and was in Washington, D.C. for a while and now resides in the Philadelphia area. So, Father Diogo, welcome.
Alicia, thank you. Thank you so much. It's such a joy to be here.
Absolutely. It's good to have you here with us. And Father Diogo, you are one of our council members of Pentecost Today USA, and we are just overjoyed by not only the beautiful ministry that you bring and your zeal for the work of the Holy Spirit, but also by just your story and what the Lord has been doing with you. So I'm excited for all who are joining us to get to know you more.
Yeah, praise God. And I mean, it's a great joy to be able to serve in such a way, to be connected to Pentecost Today USA, and also to be here with you all today, just sharing the good things the Lord does in our lives, right? Because more than anything, we're just witnesses of His love and mercy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We are. And it's, you know, I think there's something extraordinary about how the Lord so uniquely writes a love story in each of our lives. And it's filled with surprises of the Holy Spirit.
Many.
Yes. So before we dive into just hearing more of your background and your story, I thought we could open up today with a quote from the ICRIS Doctrinal Commission on the Holy Spirit, which is about healing and deliverance. So it's page 23 if you're following along. And the quote is this: "Through baptism in the Holy Spirit, charisms of healing have become widely diffused, and prayers for healing have become an ordinary part of the Christian life for many. From early on, the renewal embraced the ministry of healing as an integral part of its mission, recognizing that healing was integral to Jesus' ministry and that he empowered his followers to heal as well." And so we're just pray with that passage for a moment. Even as we enter into this episode, Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you and praise you for the awesome grace of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for how you allow your ministry to heal, to be brought forth through us. Lord, we stand in awe of you. You are a God of miracles, and you allow us to know you through your extraordinary ministry of working miracles in so many ways. And even now, Lord Jesus, we ask for this ministry of healing to be brought forth, even as those are joining us today and just listening. And Lord, we ask that you would send your Spirit to fall afresh on us, Lord, that you would pour out physical, emotional, psychological, and spiritual healing, that there would be a wholeness and a healing of Jesus Christ that is poured out even as we enter in today's episode. And Lord, we also just ask for a mighty, mighty blessing to fall afresh on Father Diogo. Lord, we give this time to you, and we ask that you would show us your glory. We pray all of this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, Father Diogo, before we talk about healing and deliverance, it would be wonderful if you can share with us some of your background.
Sure. Well, I grew up originally in Brazil, lived there for 16 years. Family was Catholic family, like many families in Brazil, but not always. Sometimes they confuse about things in Brazil. Unfortunately, some people will profess Catholic faith. Obviously, not many, but there is a bit of confusion at times, and sometimes mixed with different things. They're not Catholic, so some of my family members were involved in things like that. So I remember going to places that we should not have gone, like spiritists and things like that growing up. But the Lord really had a plan for our lives and really protected our families from entering deep into that reality. My mom grew up wanting to be a nun. Her mother didn't allow her to become a nun. So I think that was always in her heart, that that place of seeking God and seeking intimacy with God. But perhaps for many things, for many situations in life, for many reasons, I thinking back, we didn't have a life that was so like Jesus-centered, to be honest. Well, good parents, loving parents. My parents worked really hard to give us what we needed and have a good life, education. But it was always a desire in my father's heart to come to America. He was a medical doctor. And finally, when I was 16 years old, we moved to the States. And my mother had a profound experience of conversion in a retreat. It was a charismatic retreat. This priest came twice from Brazil. And the second time he came, he prophesied, pointing at me and some of my friends, that one of us is going to be a priest. Mind you, I had never thought about being a priest. No one had ever asked me before about being a priest. And when this priest said this, one of you guys is going to be a priest. It's a prophecy. It's not coming from me. My friends began denying. And when I asked myself, is that me? It was like kind of hard to explain. It was like a voice, but it was a certainty. It was like, it's you. And I was like, oh, no, you know, and I was like, it's you. And I was trying to like, no, I don't want this. Oh, it's you, you know. And I was like, oh, man, what do I do with this? So that stayed with me for about a month. And really not knowing what to do and really what to turn to, that kind of just fell away, like the parable of the sower and the seeds, right? So if our hearts are not really open and ready to receive the word that comes from God, it falls into places and sometimes it's robbed or sometimes it's choked. So I think that calling in my life was choked for a while. Only later I could realize also, I'm also learning recently the power of words of prophecy can have on a person's life, and that's what happened to me. But you planted a seed that took about 10 years really to begin to bear fruit. So went to school, went to college, ended up studying to be a scientist, as you mentioned. And when I was in grad school, there was always growing up this certain void in my life, this certain emptiness, and a huge feeling that I had to do something big. Like, I thought I was going to be a professional soccer player, musician, or something very vain like that. But the Lord had a different plan for my life. So when I was about 27 to 28, the Lord really put in my heart this desire to get closer to Him. There was a very special person at the time in my life before I became a Capuchin, you know, as many people do. You know, you live a quote-unquote normal life. So, you know, I dated girlfriends before, and one of these girlfriends was a woman of God, and she really was an instrument of the Lord to open my heart to what He had for me. And she kept on talking to me about Padre Pio and many different saints. And to make a long story short, the Lord led me to the Capuchin Order. I've been a Capuchin for now 12 years, a priest for 4. And very early in my ministry, more a public ministry as a deacon than as a priest, the Lord began to bring very heavily in my life this reality of healing, deliverance, and more focus on inner healing and deliverance. And it's one of those things that quote you read was beautiful, really beautiful, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is not only healing and miracles. However, without it, it's not complete. So Jesus, when He sent the apostles to preach, He gave them the authority to cast out demons, also to bring healing to the sick, to manifest, to bring the kingdom of God, the reality that wanted to break into this world, to manifest in such a way, and through us, imperfect as we are, but wanted to follow the Lord. So the Lord began to send a bunch of people that had brokenness and traumas and demonic influence, and I did not know what to do with that at first, but I had a little bit of a knowledge of Unbound, and I just began to serve as I could. And I just began to see the Lord healing tremendous. A lot of people had to bring some people to the exorcist. And they quickly told me, we think you have a charism for this. And I'm like, oh, man, I never thought about getting involved in this kind of stuff. And the Lord just kept on working. And for whatever reason, also, there was this inkling to look up this priest that was a huge and a charismatic renewal, Father Rufus Pereira. He was tremendously influential back in the days, and really big in Brazil. He used to go to Brazil many times. There's an exorcist, but he also was very big in renewal. And I began to watch his videos on YouTube because he has already gone to the Lord. And I felt like this guy was like a mentor in my life, just teaching me how the Lord wants to heal broken hearts and how beautiful it is, this ministry of inner healing and deliverance. I learned tremendously from him. And as I began to watch his videos, the amount of people coming to me like quadrupled. And I was just like, what is this, Lord? I was getting cases sometimes, multiple times a week, multiple times a day, praying with people. And the Lord just began to open that door. And I began to see gifts of the Holy Spirit being manifested, that I needed more clarity or more understanding on. We're friends, so you'd know me before, and I used to believe in, obviously, in the gift of the Holy Spirit, but there was something in my heart also. There was a bit of resistance to the quote-unquote call myself charismatic. So I was a non-charismatic that prayed in tongues and believed in the gift of the Holy Spirit, whatever that means. So I began just to open myself and ask the Lord to know about what are these things. Like, I'm praying for people, and people can fall on the floor and they come back and they are better. And I don't understand why that happened. And things like that. And I had an opportunity to talk to Dr. Mary Healy, and she mentioned to me, I think it would be very good for you to go through the formation program that they have in Encounter Ministries. I think it would be very helpful for you. And they're opening a place in D.C. So some time went by. They did open, and I went through the program. And for me, it was a huge blessing. I learned so much. And really helped me to learn more about my identity in Christ and all these things that God was already doing and how he wanted to do more. And one of the pivotal things right before joining Encounter was reading Damien Stein's book, Lord, Renew Your Wonders, because I had been seeing the Lord healing people, inner healing, deliverance, like all that kind of stuff. But physical healing for me was still one of those things that I thought, well, it's more like for Padre Pio, it's very rare, it doesn't happen often. And I was extremely challenged by what I read there. And I felt that the Lord was saying to me, you either believe in this or you're rejecting the gospel. And I just had this restlessness within that I was afraid of based on misconceptions. What if I pray, nothing happens? People are going to be hurt. Their faith is going to be hurt. Is it like tempting God to be asking people to be healed? What do I do? But I just had this restlessness in my heart. Just felt so challenged. That, after some time, at one point, I just remember asking the Lord in front of the Blessed Sacrament once, doing an adoration, and getting no response, but this weird restlessness. So I said, Jesus, if it takes myself becoming or making myself embarrassed in front of other people, make myself like a fool, I would do it. So I grabbed the microphone, and I just said to people publicly, in this day, it was like about 140 people there, and I said, if people need prayers of healing, come forward. And I was like, what have I done? People begin to come forward, and I begin, well, I'm going to just do what I saw in the book. So the book said, ask the person what the condition is, and then call down the Holy Spirit. And then when you feel like you're supposed to pray, you just pray as God commands, So I just like, well, what's the problem with you? And he goes like, my knee hurts. I got a problem with my knee. So I was like, all right, so come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And then like this boldness came upon me. It's like, in Jesus' name, I come, and knee be healed right now. Pain be gone right now for the glory of God. Like, well, move your knee now. So the guy goes like, I don't feel anything. I'm like, jump. So the guy's jumping. And he's like, run really fast. The guy's running really fast. So I'm like, oh, man. That kind of was just like, the first person I prayed like on that day, the person was healed. So I was like, oh, man. So that day the Lord healed, I think he healed like 9 people. And that just blew my mind. I started freaking out. I was like, I've never seen this before. What do I do from now on? I don't know what to do. And my spiritual director told me, stop freaking out. It's not about you. It's about God. So, cool your jets. But it really helped me to be able to have gone through these 2 years of Encounter Ministries. I met a lot of people who became brothers and sisters. And there's a lot of encouragement, a lot of really good teaching, a lot of times in places to practice. And then in those years and throughout that time, I really saw the Lord really stretching me and manifesting his power in such ways that you just become so convicted that God wants to manifest himself in power. And obviously, he wants to heal the whole of a person, not simply our bodies, but the whole of our souls, and open our path to holiness and to salvation. But many times, he also wants to manifest his mercy and love by healing people too. And I've seen tremendous things like cancer disappearing. We're seeing people that are blind begin to see again, people that couldn't hear begin hearing again, legs growing on two occasions. And oftentimes, too, which is just, you know, so awesome, when people begin seeing those things happen, they run to you thinking you have some special power. Father, pray for me. And I was like, no, hold on a second. Instead of praying, I actually grab children, and I have children pray over them or have their own husband or wife pray over one another. And they see the Lord healing them, and that just brings a knot to their brain, because oftentimes they don't think that God wants to use them that way. And really feel my heart that God, in, at this time we're living in, really wants to show us who we are in Christ, and really to use each one of us, you know, sphere of influence to bring His love, to bring His mercy, and also to manifest the fact that we adore and serve a living God. And if we're just open, you know, He just wants to use us tremendously. So I've been in Philadelphia now for about a year, and we're also seeing tremendous things happening here. People are very hungry for God. We see a number of people coming back to church. Thanks be to God, and all glory to Him, because, again, this is all very new, and I feel like I'm always still learning, and sometimes I'm actually like, I'm not sure that we're freaking out, because we should expect God to move powerfully, but I'm just so amazed by things that happen. We continue to see the church just getting fuller with people. My parishioners praying with the people and seeing healings. You know, my altar servers are praying for people, and they see people being healed. And it kind of just changes our minds. Conversions. You talked about the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and also being convicted how people can really be transformed by the power of baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have some people here, particularly I'm thinking of a parishioner who at first was not considered to be charismatic, would not come to the charismatic retreats here before I came here. It's a rather charismatic community here. And this person went to a retreat last year. I saw a group of them kind of hiding in the back when the quote-unquote, no, the craziness was happening. We're praying for people to be baptized, and people who experience the power of God. And when things like that happen, sometimes there are some manifestations of the power of God, because no, God manifests Himself. But they're hiding there in the back, so I just ran to the back and I prayed over them. And this one person received tremendously, and this one person is being used powerfully by God right now. It's just a lot of people in the community just like in awe. And we just see how this reality of the presence of God among us is just so beautiful, surprising, unpredictable, but amazing. And really, yeah, so that's a little bit of, you know, who I am, what the Lord's been doing in my life, and in the present moment too, how we just so in awe and in gratitude for what God is doing.
Father Diogo, thank you for sharing your story. And, you know, I think it's exciting for those who are joining us just to kind of hear even your posture of, I'm not sure what this is, but I'm going to step out in faith. You know, there's an extraordinary trust in the Lord that you walk in, even as you're surprised by the Lord and by the power of the Holy Spirit in healing people. And, you know, I think it's something that all of us can take to prayer to say, Lord, do I really believe and trust and take action in faith? You know, that's no matter where we are, Lord willing, we're always growing in faith, expectant faith. And I think there's something to your story, though. So Father Diogo and I met each other because my brother was in seminary at Theological College in Washington, D.C. Father Diogo was then a friar, a brother Diogo at the time, at Cap College, which is just a short walk away. And so we would get together for these small times of charismatic prayer and worship. And I remember meeting you for the first time, and you were actually leading the time of praise and worship, playing guitar, singing, and then all of a sudden, you started singing in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
And I was raised by parents, aunts and uncles, grandparents, even my great-grandmother had received the gift of tongues, but they prayed in tongues and sometimes spoke in tongues, but I'd never heard anyone sing in tongues before. And for most people who are part of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, especially if they've been part of the renewal since its early days, that was often a gift that the Spirit poured out at large gatherings of 20,000 people from all across the nation, or large international gatherings in Rome, you can go back and watch the videos. You hear the multitudes singing in these glorious symphonies of the Holy Spirit's all harmonized, but everyone's just singing this mysterious, powerful tongue of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, there was something that the Lord had given to you even before you stepped out, and kind of the Lord brought you into this deeper journey. But I'm curious to hear, was there a moment that you can kind of point to or look to say, you know, this is when I really yielded to and surrendered to Jesus as Lord and had a moment of baptism in the Holy Spirit and received this gift?
Yeah, so that is an interesting question that it's not very easy for me to answer, because I think initially, like some people, I think Dr. Mary Healy was asked that too. I think my initial baptism in the Holy Spirit was rather tame, quote unquote, you know. Mm-hmm. I remember going to those initial retreats, and I don't remember exactly when I received prayers for baptism of the Holy Spirit at those retreats. I just remember in the second one, I was praying in tongues. And the first one, actually, to be honest, I was a bit scared, because I had never seen people falling under the power of the Holy Spirit. I thought this woman had just died in front of me. I started freaking out. I was ready to call 911. I don't remember. I just remember that things happened. Just people were just praying, and I received the gift of tongues. So I was praying in tongues, and something happened there. But when I experienced that return to the Lord, I mentioned when I was in grad school, 27, 28, looking back, there were a lot of experiences that do resonate with baptism in the Holy Spirit. That whether it happened, I mean, you don't have to receive people praying over you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I personally believe that every single Christian, because it's something biblical, right? So every single Catholic that's walking a path of holiness, at one point they need to yield to the power of God in such a way, to the action of God, that you call a baptism of the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call, you know, it's a yielding to the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do from the sacrament of initiation. Because in the early church, that's how people are prepared for the sacraments. So I think that is to happen to all of us. We just call it baptism of the Holy Spirit, as might we know. So that happened really as I was just seeking the Lord in intimacy. And there was an infusion of wisdom. And I remember the girlfriend at the time was saying, there's something weird happening with you. This is not normal. Like, the way you're speaking right now about God, it's just... And I just had this, it just felt like this hunger for God and this depth of, I just read scripture and pray with it and read about the saints. And I couldn't stop doing it, but there's also, and I see it looking back, there were things coming out of my mouth that I just like, how do I know this? I mean, I don't know. Well, Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He promises He'll lead us to all the truth. And I did experience a bit of pushback when I was in school. People that were my peers didn't understand what was happening to me. They thought I lost my marbles and I was being brainwashed. You know, from a scientist, now I wanted to be a Catholic priest. And I really, looking back, I could see that there was something happening there, that, you know, call it a baptism of the Holy Spirit, whatever that was happening there as well. Mm. But there was a deeper yielding to it as the Lord led me more and more actively into ministry, because I began to see that reality being manifested, and that there are some places that I can actually look back now. There are, you know, places that I could put a name and say, yes, that was definitely an experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. As we know, it's not a one-time experience. You see that in Acts of the Apostles. There's Pentecost. Then you look at chapter 4, you know, there is another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They're filled, you know, with the Holy Spirit. So I think that really has happened in my life a number of times. But I think the initial times, I didn't even perceive it, to be honest.
Mm. That's beautiful. And yeah, Lord willing, baptism in the Holy Spirit, the full immersion of God's love, the infilling of the Spirit, it goes deeper and deeper and deeper, and it's ongoing for all of our lives. But, you know, it's always good to hear about that initial surrender experience, encounter. if there is one that's, you know, just a moment. And sometimes it's, a lot of people will share with us, it's a moment of just an experience of peace that surpasses all understanding, you know. So yeah.
The big place is to look at the fruits, you know, just to see how that changes your life. Sometimes those experiences can be rather, you know, powerful and sometimes scary. I mean, just to share one, which is actually pretty funny. Last year, we had this charismatic retreat here, and we were having this moment of praying for, you know, baptism of the Holy Spirit and an outpouring of new gifts for people, you know, more anointing in their lives. And this guy, you know, the Holy Spirit comes in this person. The guy goes down, and he's basically stuck. The guy cannot move. And there's just the power of God moving through the guy's body. And I don't know if he was shaking or not, but people were scared what's happening with him. And his wife, right before this happened, the guy's wife, her heart began just pounding and pounding. She said, "I think I'm having a heart attack. I think I'm having a heart attack. So I'm going to tell my husband for him to call 911. And then she sees him going down, you know? And she's also confused about this. And now she was touched powerfully as well. And then she was, you know, after this, she was just looking at the husband. She said, "What's happening with him? Is something wrong with him? He cannot move." You know, and they kept on saying, "Father, go back to this guy." I'm like, "No, I'm busy. I'm praying for people. I'll look at him later." It was like a lot of people there, so I'm praying for people. Because, I mean, we see that reality happening. And then at the end, they brought the guy to me, and I said a little prayer over him. And then this woman gives her testimony saying, "You know, I felt like I was going to die when this was happening to me. It was, but looking back, it was just profound. But my husband, you know, he's a person that doesn't say much. And after that experience, we're just confused what's happening with him. He just said, I felt like I died. And I was born again. And everything is different." Like, this guy had such a profound experience of, like, dying in Christ and rising in Christ. He's saying, everything is different. And the experiences like that, like hearing from people, just looking at my own life too, but it shows us how, you know, opening your heart to God in such a way and praying with that conviction and then expecting God to come. You know, baptism of the Holy Spirit can have a profound effect in people's lives and helping them turn a page.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes even, you know, being delivered from bondage and addiction, or God can do those things, but also that, like you mentioned, is being overwhelmed by God's love. You know, it is an experience of dying and rising.
It is glorious. You know, Father Diogo, we're out of time for today, but hopefully we can have you on as a guest again, because I think there's so much that we can all learn about how the Holy Spirit is inviting us into the life and ministry of Jesus Christ and sharing what we've received in praying for healing and walking with those who are just so vulnerable and ready to receive because of some cross or burden that they're bearing. And oftentimes that receptivity is just a gift from the Lord to receive in a way that's radically life-changing. Father Diogo, can we invite you to pray for an increase of, one, the grace of baptism in the Holy Spirit being shared, and then two, also for just an increase in healing ministry in those who are joining us today?
Of course, be happy to. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Father Almighty, we praise you, we glorify you, and with much trust in your love and mercy, and as the disciples and apostles in the cenacle with Mary, expecting your power to come, I pray, Father, that you send your Holy Spirit upon those listening, but even those that are not even listening, because you can do all things, Father. Just send your Holy Spirit. Just pour your love. Just baptize them in your Holy Spirit, and just ask, Father, for an overwhelming presence of your love. Increase faith, increase hope, increase love in their hearts. And in this baptism, I ask you, Father, for an impartation of your own heart to the heart of those listening, that their hearts will beat with your own heart for those whom your heart is beating. I ask you, Father, for you to overwhelm them with your presence, fill them, renew them, especially in their places of limitation, of poverty and hunger, the places where people may be struggling with sinfulness. I ask for your power to come upon there, and just to, in the power of your love and mercy, just grant them the strength of surrendering to you and receiving the power that comes from on high in you, for a new life in you. I ask your Holy Spirit, come. Come, come with your power and love. Come with your power and love. And I also ask you, Father, for an increase in gifts of healing, deliverance, miracles, faith for miracles. Increase, Father Almighty, opportunities, but also desires in people's hearts to see those who are burdened, those who are hurting, those who need to experience your love through the power of your spirit to want to be used by you. I ask you to remove fear and to increase faith, increase hunger, increase desires to be in your name, to see your name glorified. I ask you, Father, for all and any anointing in my life you give me for healing, that you also pour upon those who want to be used, and also all those you want to send right now with greater anointing of healing. And we pray all of this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Father Diogo, thank you so much for all of your wisdom, for sharing your testimony, and for praying, interceding for those who are joining us and for those who are desiring the gift of healing, especially, and really that encounter with the living God. And so, Father Diogo, we want to say thank you. We ask that the Lord blesses you with abundant, abundant increase in your ministry, that it would just continue to surprise you with the surprises of the Holy Spirit, and that the Lord would show you his glory.
Amen. Thank you so much, and thank you for inviting me. It's been a blessing to be with all of you today.
Absolutely. For all who are joining us, you know, we, Father Diogo, is among the board and council members who have been doing a lot of work behind the scenes to prepare a 9-year novena, Holy Spirit 2033. It is in preparation for the 2,000-year anniversary of Pentecost, and it is an awesome call to action to pray with and for all who are involved in the renewal, in the church, and in ministry in the world, really praying for a new and ongoing Pentecost. So we just invite you, if you haven't had the chance yet, to go out to our website. It is PentecostTodayUSA.org, and you can just click to join the novena, and you'll receive updates. The novena prayer itself daily is very simple. It's just come Holy Spirit, praying at 9 a.m., which is the hour of Pentecost, and then there's a weekly prayer that you can pray on Sundays, either on your own or with a group of people. So know that we are excited to pray with you, and we are so ready to see how the Holy Spirit will fulfill this prayer for a new and ongoing Pentecost. God bless you all.